The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
By the way, 2 points where I think they could jump back in on the symbolic start if the NFL is going to take over Christmas. Christmas Eve this year, nothing. We got the Hawaii Bowl.
Yeah, that was funky.
Yeah, Anthony Alant was the only person excited at the Hawaii Bowl that I've seen ever.
Well, and everybody who went to Hawaii.
Well, good for them.
Yeah, exactly.
They're doing
I'd
much
be excited
better than
for that too.
Yeah.
It went to 5 overtimes.
Yeah, I know.
Get
I saw
out of Dodge.
Yeah, 5 overtimes. I think USF ended up taking like 41-30.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, I cared enough to look at the box score, but that was about it.
But you beat me.
I knew one name in the entire game other than
Scott Frost.
No, actually, I didn't even. Does Scott Frost coach for USF?
He will be coming shortly. Oh, okay. They rehired him once again, but I'm sure, knowing how Scott Frost will operate, I think he got a trip to Hawaii out of the deal.
Scott Frost is going to Central Florida.
Yeah!
You tried.
All right, I'm 0 for 1.
Yep.
0 for 1, we did our best. Look, we're trying. We're doing our best, okay? We didn't Google that one. We didn't research it. We took a shot in the dark. Life happens.
It was a good shot. It was worth the shot. No, I knew Nick Nash. He was the Triple Crown winner from San Jose State. That was the only one I knew. The wide receiver that was a Triple Crown winner. That's the only guy. And it was off of just the fact that I saw it on Twitter. And then I was
good
like,
for you.
Yeah, that was as far as we got. Nobody cared. So it's like, it felt like, by the way, every sports league, you can argue like, oh, should sports be played on holidays? Borderline hack radio topic. But like, Christmas Eve was open. If somebody wanted to play games on Christmas Eve, I'd be watching sports on Christmas Eve. It'd be up on my TV. I would have been watching, and nobody took the advantage. It was the Hawaii Bowl at 8 o'clock, and that was the only thing that got played. I also think another thing the NBA could do is you take advantage of these midweek, where obviously the NFL is going to take over on Christmas on a Wednesday, but typically like a Monday, Tuesday, or a Tuesday, Wednesday, and a Friday, the NFL's not on. I think if you took the NBA Cup and condensed it to the point where we're not playing random Tuesdays and Fridays throughout the year, and then it's like, oh, yeah, today's an NBA Cup day. Oh, they're in the championship. Oh, we have 2 weeks. The Cavs play the Wizards and the Nets?
Mm-hmm.
What is happening? What happened? No. Like, you just condense it a little bit more, and you play these games over the span of a couple of weeks where it feels, sure, you can have other games mixed in, but it feels more like a set-up tournament where you have it going on all at once. You might be able to build up a little bit more momentum for it and actually dive in. And for the NBA, this could be their, you know, here's right back to you to the NFL and jump in even earlier. Try to get people involved in the NBA season even earlier than Christmas.
It's a pretty good idea. You're onto something here. Because the whole idea behind this, too, is that if you could condense this thing and you could put it together like that and then put it right on Christmas Eve, A, you would have that window to yourself, and B, you can find a way to then make it special. Because that's what will make people tune in. Because, and again, we're only two games into this. We're only two seasons into this NBA Cup. The one thing I'll give them, the guys care. Like, it's good basketball.
The players care.
The players care. And it's not just the rookies on the end of the benches who are doing some serious rebounding and all that kind of stuff because they know that they're about to double their paycheck for the year if they win this game. They care. And so that's what the NBA needs, is you need to find a way in the regular season to get people to lock into a game where you care, where everybody cares. Might be onto something with that. I like that. I like that. Copyright that. Make money off it.
Yeah, every once in a while I pull together a good
idea. That's a goodie.
Adam Silver, give me a call. I'll take very limited percentages of the money. Don't worry. I'm not asking for much here.
It'll be seven figures, but it'll be low seven figures.
Yeah.
You know, we got to make sacrifices.
Yeah, I'm always willing. Always willing. If you add two commas, that'd be the first time I've seen it in my life. Thank you very much. No, I want to get some of your calls at 216-474-0092 if you want to jump in. Bill's in Parma. Bill, what do you got?
How are you, Bill?
Hey, you guys are doing a great job.
Thanks, buddy.
Dan, appreciate it.
You stole my thunder just a little bit. You know, supposedly the NBA's attendance watching is down this year. I think one of the reasons is I think there's a little bit of a burnout on LeBron and his dominance of wanting the attention in the NBA. I think there's a lot of viewers that want to move on. And even LeBron the other day kind of bothered me a little bit, in which he said, you know, we need to get somebody on this team for me to win the fifth championship. You know, I think we need to get Jimmy Butler. Well, Jimmy Butler was smart enough to say, I don't want to go there. And the reason is, if they would win the fifth championship, LeBron would say he was the reason. LeBron was the reason he wanted. And supposedly Butler wants to go to San Francisco or Golden State. And but I think there's a lot of people that are tired of that. I think the team that we have here is revolutionary in a way, and that is they share the ball.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really have the star treatment that the NBA was started with David Stern. And
oh, yeah.
There was, you know, and so this right here, does it sell? And see, that's the whole thing with the NBA. Does it sell? And this goes back where I'm also just, I want to morph this into, because you guys are smart and I want to run this by you.
We moonlight. Jake is smart. I moonlight is smart.
So, no, I think I'm there with you, actually.
Yeah, well, but you know, this in the most valuable player situation, and that is right now they're saying Lamar Jackson should be the most valuable player. And, you know, and I'm sitting here thinking, wait a minute, Patrick Mahomes is on a 15-1 team. His team has been awful this year because everybody's been injured. He didn't have any receivers. That hasn't had any running backs. And they're 15-1, yet he's won three Super Bowls. And Lamar Jackson has won none. And his team is 11-5 or whatever it is. And they're saying that he is the most valuable, and he hasn't won any. And that's almost like saying in the NBA that the guy that scores the most points should be the most valuable player every year. No, it should be the team. You should look at the team that is winning the most and look at the player that is probably driving it. And I believe this is Mahomes' best season, as a matter of fact, ever. Hey, listen, you guys, great program.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it.
Appreciate the call.
I mean, that's always the great question. And they love to make that as ambiguous as humanly possible, that when you say most valuable player, do you mean most valuable player in which player is giving the most for my team to win, or which player is the best? Because it's always going to be two separate arguments. You know, if you're doing that one, I mean, we'll keep it NBA side. But you can make a really good argument last year that, like, Donovan Mitchell should have been really high in the MVP conversation. Why?
Right.
Because he was dragging that team through the Darius Garland giving his jaw wired shut and Evan Mobley being banged up. And it was him and Jared Allen basically dragging this team by their teeth into the playoffs. Like, that's always the in-between conversation. And that's one of those great bar discussions that you'll have till the end of time. It's like, okay, when you describe valuable, what do you mean? You know, like,
yeah.
It feels like one of those, you know, we start getting into this philosophical argument that would end a philosophy major's final, you know, would be like, define valuable. And it would just be a stack of 10 pieces of paper and a pen.
Wow, I might go back to college if I'm allowed to do that. Can I define most valuable player? MVP, can I do that? I might have a degree. No, it's like, I just don't. There's a lot of reasons why the NBA is, quote unquote, the ratings are down. I think for a lot of what we talked about, some of what Bill talked about, but I don't know that star power is even necessarily the issue.
I mean, there is a LeBron fatigue that is out there. That is for sure. I think we're starting to hit a Steph Curry fatigue on top of that as well with people. And we've got this kind of, Bill Simmons did a great job laying this out. I think it was two pods ago. I want to say that he did. He basically was like, okay, to all of you people screaming that the NBA is dead, let's go back in history. And he laid this out so well of like, okay, we've got this moment and then a dead period. And then all of a sudden we have this moment that comes by and then a dead period. And then all of a sudden here comes Bird and Magic and here come that and then there's a dead period. And look, there's Jordan again. And then all of a sudden there's a dead period. But Kobe, and then they're back into a dead. Like, he kind of did a great job going like, and he goes, right now, we're in one of those dead periods. It is the history of the NBA. And what'll happen is the same thing that has happened for the last 80 years. We'll have a dead period for a couple years, and then all of a sudden the next big thing will hit. And whether the big thing is already in, and it's maybe, you know, maybe it's Wembanyama, for all we know, it could be Cooper Flagg gets drafted, and all of a sudden we've got the next great player that's hanging out. Like, maybe it's the Cavs. Maybe this Cavs team becomes the team that a lot of people start keeping their eye on, and they love exactly what Bill laid out. Love how the ball gets distributed all over the place. They love how these guys play together. They love how it's not pound, 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 pound three. You know, they love that idea, and that becomes one of the things that's like, okay, now we have this to help the NBA.
Yeah. Dan, are the Cavs title contenders right now? Would you consider them a title contender by the definition?
Yes. I think, at least to me, the definition of title contender is, are you one of the three best teams in your league? Like, or I should say in your conference. Are you one of the three best teams in your conference? If you're one of the three best teams, yes, you're a title contender. And maybe you could say four, depending on what the standings look like. But, like, yeah, you're a title contender. At that point, anything can happen. You are a team that could easily take down enough teams to make your way in. Not to mention, this is the NBA playoffs. It's attrition, man. It's all about who's walking healthy at the tail end of it. Ask the Knicks about how you should handle walking healthy at the tail end of a playoff.
Right? I don't want to ask Tom Thibodeau anything about being healthy into the playoffs.
Right.
That's not the question I want to ask him.
Well, right, because then he'll make you run for 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And so
that never ends up good.
No. Oh, gosh, no. And so, yeah, they're absolutely a title contender. Is it going to be really hard if they get matched up with a healthy Boston Celtics team in a final, in a Eastern Conference Finals? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be must-see TV. It's going to be really, really hard for them to do it. Is it their kryptonite? Possibly. I could say yes. I mean, on paper, it would be that way. But you also have to get there. And you also have to tell me that Kristaps Porzingis is going to make it through three playoff rounds before he gets there. And you're also going to have to tell me that Jrue Holiday isn't going to pick up a knock. And you're going to have to, you know, down the line from there, that 40-year-old Al Horford is going to be healthy enough for three rounds of the playoffs before he sees the Cavaliers. And I'm not saying the only way the Cavs can win is if there's injuries. I'm saying that, like, this is the reality of the situation of the Cavs. And if people want to put them down as title contenders, you're making a serious mistake.
Yeah, I just, to me, title contender is, if you take the best team in the conference, you go up against them, you have a legitimate chance to take them down. Do you look at that series and say, yeah, I could see the Cavs beating the Celtics? I might not, if I had money, I might not put it there. Do I see it as a legitimate chance of happening? And I don't know how you've watched the games that the Cavs have played against the Celtics, including an NBA Cup game, and say any differently. 216-474-0092, we'll get your thoughts on that as well. Everybody's been talking about Miles not wanting to be with the Browns. Is there a conversation for the Browns maybe not wanting to be with Miles Garrett moving forward? We'll talk about it coming back. Jake Volnick, Dan Madigan, right here on The Fan.